everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 212. 212. Yes, I don't know what that
I didn't realize
was that
of
any meaning.
Numbers,
no, neither did I. Josh was very excited about that.
I just want to see if it would throw you off, and it kind of did a little bit.
A little bit.
At least you pronounced Pittsburgh right this
week. I did. I didn't have to restart. Yeah.
They didn't know that. Now they do.
Now they do.
He didn't scream, Bocky, Bock, Bock, Bock.
That's not what I said.
Oh.
What did you say?
Patty, Bock, Bock. But, sorry. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Usual group. Just on me. I'm not going to be here next week. Adam's going to be running things.
Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I am going to be with my son seeing The Who in concert.
The Who?
That's awesome.
The Who.
That is really cool. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. Or his first ever concert. He's 11, so his first concert will be The Who. Who.
That's
bring
cool.
us all. We'll podcast
I think,
from
there. Yeah, well, sorry. I only have two tickets. Hang on. Can you guys be quiet? No, if you're, at least start him off well. Where he goes from here musically is his choice. I won't force anything on him, but at least I will have him started off well. Where he goes from there.
He has a pretty solid chance of going downhill, though.
Oh, here. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, my first concert was Adam Ant and the Romantics. So, yeah. Just setting the bar a little higher for him.
Nice.
So, yeah. So
you're
I won't be
good
here.
Dad.
Yeah, well, originally it was scheduled, but it got continued because Roger Daltrey got sick. So it got rescheduled. And I'm like, oh, Wednesday? But, oh, well.
You'll be missed.
Okay.
Dave will lead it.
Okay, good. Yeah, Dave did a great job last time. Plus, it was 2:13 next week, and yeah, that freaked me out.
Yeah,
so
13.
Pat, yeah. That, oh, my gosh. So, Pat, is there any news?
There's a few things. Couple shows got renewed. Supergirl's apparently getting a second season.
Shocking.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. is somehow getting a fourth season. Which I guess it came back last night. I didn't even know it was on.
It was pretty good. I watched it.
Was it?
Yeah. So now it's going to be Secret Warriors, basically.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is good when it has a focused story.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's fine. Like, it was fine the first half of this year.
Yeah. No, I didn't realize it came back. And you're right. As long as it doesn't try to tie into whatever movie is coming out, it does okay.
I read Agent Carter got renewed.
Good. I'm glad.
I heard it got canceled.
Yeah, I thought it was still in the bubble. I like that show, though. It's very different.
She was hired for another series on ABC, I thought, so there was some question whether it was going to...
Yeah, they said
I think it's the time, because, like, that show is, like, what a...
It's a mid-season
show. Eight-week mid-season
show. So I think she could still do other things.
She's filming that when everyone else is not filming, so...
Yeah.
You know, compared to S.H.I.E.L.D., compared to Gotham, like, that show is far superior.
I don't know why you hate on Gotham. I like
Gotham. Oh, because it's terrible, Pat. That's why.
I like Gotham.
You have anything else?
No, it's terrible.
He's entitled to his opinion, even if he's wrong.
The writing's awful. The acting is kind of awful. Yeah. It's just... They just want to throw everything at the wall.
Anybody
and see
Edison
what
Bruce wears one sweater. He has this one sweater that he wears. I mean, his pop vinyl had it, and the action of the mini mate right behind him is wearing it.
I haven't watched
the
Return from the Break yet. I don't know if I am. Like, the whole Mr. Freeze being there doesn't make sense to me.
I've watched it.
I was talking to somebody else about this.
They definitely used more of the Batman the Animated Series origin of him, where his wife is sick and he's doing it to save her, but it kind of goes in its own direction.
There's other characters I think would work better that they haven't used. Like, Killer Croc, I think, like, at the beginning of his, like, more mutation, would have been kind of a cool character to see in this. But the whole thing about Gotham, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, the thing is, this as long as the show goes on, the more and more I see that there shouldn't be a reason for Batman to exist.
You will never see. You will see Batman in one final like scene.
Yeah,
it'll be like the finale of the show.
You'll see the cow.
But why
come
do
on
we need
set.
It?
Yeah.
It looks like the cops can handle.
And then you'll find out he's just going to a Halloween party. Just decided to dress up like a big bat.
I just that's my biggest problem with it. I think
it's just they started making the show, And it feels like they got skittish from the original plan and suddenly decided, well, we can't put Batman in here, but let's just put all of the other recognizable names in here and then it'll still be fine. Like I heard now there's going to be another Joker character, Joker-esque character.
And that part, I don't understand.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that...
Like, it has some decent actors in it, too. Yeah. People that you know can do well. And I know you
looks,
like it.
It looks decent, too. I mean, the show actually looks really good. Like, the
production value. The production value is great.
The costumes I like. Like, Mr. Freeze, that's what you kind of look at as this is what he could look like before becoming Mr. Freeze.
Well, no, and if you look
They have
at
to
it,
have an accident somewhere where he is exposed to his own... chemical or whatever he's using.
Yeah.
This space. You know, it's the last time it was a movie, it was diamonds, you know, so...
What I didn't like so much was they were hockey pads, and you could tell they were hockey pads.
Yeah.
So it was...
I like Mr. Freeze as a character. Not saying this, I just like Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
I think the animated series did a really well job of creating a backstory, and I love how they use it still with Nora and
mm-hmm.
her dying and stuff like that. So
yeah. Continuing the Gotham theme, J.K. Simmons is being hired to play Jim Gordon in the Justice League movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm torn on this. I love J.K. Simmons, but I so want him to go back to be J. Jonah Jameson.
Whoa, in the live-action Justice League movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought I heard he was voicing him in some animated movie.
No. He's going to be...
He's in whatever, the Justice League
movie. Huh.
I saw that headline on Facebook, and it said J.K. Simmons cast as, and I was like, all right, he's back as J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
But really? Not that I'm against him.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if I can picture that.
I think he can definitely pull it off. We all have it in our heads, him playing J. Jonah Jameson.
But I think the way he talks,
I don't know, like Jim Gordon seems more, deep and gravelly. Guy. Not, like, J. Jonah Jameson always seems, like, a bit kind of aloof when he talks.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see how that goes.
Because
I like him.
He's a great actor, though, so I have no qualms with him being cast.
As long as they don't have Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad. He was the voice of Jim Gordon in the game in Arkham Knight.
Okay.
And like it sounded... Well, he sounded so much like Mike that every time he talked, I was like, that voice does not match that character. And all I'm thinking is Mike.
That show started off really well this season. Better Call
Saul. Better Call Saul. It's phenomenal. I don't watch Mondays yet, but so
I haven't
good.
Either. But
so,
yeah, it's good.
Mondays.
I like Mike's story.
Was
I know
it?
We're getting off subject with good. Comic books, but I like Mike's story better than I like Saul's.
They're both great,
really
but,
good, but I really like Mike's backstory.
Yeah.
I kind of, and I've heard other people say this too, I kind of like this better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I do.
Now,
they're two different.
It owes a lot to Breaking Bad,
yeah.
But it's just, it's so good. I never thought, I always thought the show would be good whenever they first announced it, but I never thought it would be this engaging.
Yeah,
it's
a lot better than I thought it would be.
It's incredibly engaging.
Yeah. A lot of good shows mm-hmm. right now.
What else is happening in the comic book world, Pat?
Civil War trailer. There's, I guess, another Poster one
still.
That's supposed to come out tomorrow. And the rumor is Spider-Man will make an appearance, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be costume Spider-Man. They could just show Peter Parker. But even with the Age of Ultron, the last trailer, they did end up showing Vision. So I would be shocked if they didn't show something. You know, maybe the mask or some way to kind of tie in Spider-Man with it.
What was their weakest Avengers character movie? Like, was it
Iron Man 2?
Was it Iron Man 3?
Literally weakest because his suit couldn't even go through a barn door.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah.
Well,
you have this metal glove with a jet engine on it.
And it was still trying to knock
it. It can't go through this 100-year-old wooden barn door.
Well, it had a chain on the door.
No.
That's true.
Never mind. You,
you got him, Matt.
You got me. Gotham's awesome. I'm wrong about everything.
You've got to go re-look your whole life now.
I've been wrong about everything.
Just go ahead. You're just gonna leave now. You're just like, I'm leaving. I don't deserve to be on this podcast.
Like a walkier. And the other one, kind of comic booky, but not, was the Ghostbusters trailer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this was a tough one to discuss.
I didn't dislike it.
The effects look pretty great.
Yeah, the effects looked really nice.
Yeah.
And they fit for what you're expecting out of Ghostbusters. Like, the ghosts looked like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
The ghosts look like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters look like ghosts. It's madness.
It's tough to say. It's a lot of ghost words. But it's
restarted.
I didn't get the the trap looked weird that she was making. The one
it was like a bear trap.
And
yeah.
I was just like, what is it going to do? Cut him in half? Like, then suck him in? I wasn't really asking for this movie.
No.
I think that's one of the things that I'm just like.
No, it looks fine. What I didn't care for is that they've come out and said very clearly this is a reboot. It's not in the same universe as the other ones. Yet the trailer starts with 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Four scientists saved the world. And,
yeah. So why would you say that?
I was wondering.
Unless the first shot is the firehouse.
That theory is that firehouse again. But unless you're trying to remind us that there was a Ghostbusters movie, which you don't have to remind us of that. We know.
Yeah.
We know the franchise we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I also didn't get that at the beginning with it painted on the wall. Like, who's running around graffiti walls with Ghostbusters symbols?
Yeah.
Colin is.
It's Alex.
The Junior Buster.
It is. I didn't get that. And the characters, they seem very similar, though, like, to the original characters.
They are counterparts.
Yeah.
They are. Which, they got some flack over that.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
People were a bit upset that...
Her name.
Well, people were saying, like, so we have three scientists and one just normal person who happens to overhear a conversation and jumps in, not a scientist by any means.
Yeah.
That's going to be the black girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The three white girls will be the smart scientists.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That was Winston in the originals, but...
As long as there's a paycheck, I believe anything you tell me.
It's just they didn't have to do it that. There wasn't any set formula to who can be which Ghostbuster. I mean, maybe in our heads there is. That's just like that one has to be Winston.
Like unless they were making them the exact same characters.
Yeah.
And saying this is Winston.
Yeah.
You know, then I could say okay. Then you cast them.
Yeah, because
the
extremely tall one is Egon. And
yeah. I don't know. It's
one of those things where it's like, to me personally, I mean. I'm not getting all up in arms about it, but I can see why people would be upset about it. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't really. It just, I think they could have been a little more creative in that aspect. More, that's what bothers me.
It didn't. But from a marketing standpoint, this did not make me want to go see the movie. There was nothing in there that kind of hooked me and said, "Okay, this is different, and I'm going to want to go see it."
I'm good. The bag looks different than they used to.
Oh, okay. It was on sale. Pretzel pieces. That shouldn't be too bad for me, right?
No. Honey mustard and onion?
No, I'll be that.
We're not going to make out or anything later on, but, you know.
Well, you got to go back in the closet for that anyway. That's all I got for news.
That's all you got for news?
That's all I got for news. We're running a lot.
You have news?
No, but Colin...
Let's ask him now.
Speak, Lassie, speak.
No, but Colin...
Adam's in a well?
Colin has a question.
So we have a question from James. It says, it looks like we'll be getting more R-rated superhero movies. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on the Deadpoolization of the genre.
I don't like that name.
No, I don't either.
It's
a new backrolling.
Yeah. Are there any characters or teams that you would like to see made into an R-rated movie? Are there any characters or teams that you are afraid will be made into a terrible R-rated movie? And just for the record, I would like to see X-Force, and I'm afraid we'll end up with Batman waterboarding somebody. Well, I don't think you're going to see Batman doing that because Batman's too general of a character with too broad an audience. Deadpool is for a specific group where Batman is supposed to appeal to everyone. So it can be darker, but I don't think you're ever going to see
an R Batman movie. It does have Zack Snyder at the helm, though.
We'll see how this
and
this
they're releasing
an
R version of this movie,
right? But but they're not specifying what that is, and
they did say intense violence.
The character that Jenna Malone was supposed to be playing has now been cut out, but she's still supposed to be important to the R-rated version. They've already denied it, but hear me out.
You think they're going to go Killing Joke?
Yeah, and if she's supposed to be Barbara Gordon. And then Joker shoots her.
I don't feel like that gets you an R rating, though.
It depends on how graphic they make it, and then potentially, you know, he starts taking the pictures of her.
Yeah, what made that story graphic wasn't the shooting per se.
Or the other option could be if they show the murder of Robin, and they go full on killing or death in the family, beating him with a crowbar. That could very well venture into R-rated territory.
Killing a child with a crowbar probably would do it.
I would think that's
the child.
What, that doesn't change?
If it was Justin Bieber, they'd probably let it go.
It's not a child anymore, I guess. Just looks like one.
Yeah. But, see, and I don't like that whole Deadpoolization thing anyway, because Deadpool did not make the money it made because it's an R-rated movie.
No, but people look at that and they say, that can work.
Well, right, but let's go back 15 years. Blade was an R-rated movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Worked.
This isn't the first
But no one knew Blade was a comic book movie.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I didn't know when
people thought it was a Wesley Snipes action movie with vampires.
Punisher was rated R. Both Punisher
that
movies.
That movie was considered, but that
was
movie
that
wasn't
rated
as well
R?
Received.
The rating wasn't.
Can we name? Is there an R-rated one that was better received?
What?
Of a
was Watchmen rated R?
Watchmen was rated R.
Watchmen. I thought Watchmen was fine. It got flack.
Kick-Ass is considered. The first movie received.
I think the problem with Kick-Ass is it's more even Watchmen. It's more fringe. I think more when you look.
Less
at
people knew what Kick-Ass
superhero was. Like you know, kind of the Justice League type and all that. And I don't think any of the main members of the Justice League you're going to get away with an R-rated movie.
Well, and I think it helped whenever Deadpool was in X-Men Origins Wolverine. It started getting buzz out, and then there was talk ever since then about a movie.
Yeah.
So at least people started, you know, hearing the name Deadpool and getting curious about what it was. So, but yeah, you're right. I don't think Deadpool didn't work. Deadpool didn't make the money it made because it was rated R.
It has a
not entirely. I think some people found it refreshing just to have a movie that a superhero movie that did go no holds barred. But it wasn't solely because it was rated R.
Fans made that movie.
But. It showed the studios that rated R tag did not hurt the movie at all.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Colin, you were concerned a little bit about the movie being rated R, so suddenly it's going to...
Well, I still get lots of 8 and 10-year-olds coming in wanting Deadpool.
Are you getting more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but even there...
Not that they saw the movie necessarily, but they want to.
Or their friends saw the movie.
Yeah.
Now they want to...
But the Deadpool comic, with the exception of the Deadpool Max, it's not a rated R comic. James's point, and that was actually the one that I thought of, I would want to see an X-Force movie rated R.
It would have to be.
Just to be, well, but I mean, its comics were not Max. Its comics were, you know, T, so, you know, 13 plus.
Yeah, but the concept of the team was to
do
things
that... Right, and
that's just
it. That's supposed to be the Black Ops team.
Yeah.
Just to make it so much different and apart and extreme from the regular X-Men universe, I would go R with that. But there's
like that could be an R. Thunderbolts could be R. Suicide Squad could have easily gone R.
Yeah.
What was the question exactly? Is it that
are there characters that can work
that can hold it off?
Yeah. Well, and are there any that you just wouldn't go there?
Yeah. Some you think they might, but you don't want to see them.
You know, a Moon Knight movie that could go R pretty easily and still work.
We're talking about the next Wolverine being.
Yeah, or a Logan.
They're doing Old Man Logan, so I can see that for Old Man Logan, because he's... Yeah, it's a pretty different situation.
It all depends. I mean, to make a movie rated R just to make it rated R, no. You know, or if the character fits and the story fits and it works better as being rated R, it's going to fit that audience better, then go ahead and make it a rated R movie.
Yeah, because if you flip
it
around...
Look at Spider-Man swooping through that strip club.
Yeah.
But if they ever do make a Sandman movie, I want it to be R, yeah. only because I don't want there to be any restraints. I want them to tell the story. And
there's some news. You didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt dropped out of Sandman.
Well, yeah, but well, how much actually, the news weird thing about that was they got a writer, and then 2 days later, he dropped out.
It's because it moved from Warner Brothers to New Line, and he didn't get along with the New Line.
Yeah.
They had a different idea for how the...
Yeah.
What made it special.
One of my things is, so what did he bring to the table, though? I mean, nice guy. That's what I've heard. Is he? Is it enough?
He's a good actor.
Yeah, right, but and he was the producer, but what has he ever produced? I mean, I'm not trying to dismiss him, but I don't see the project being dead because
he does have a production company. I don't know off the top of my head what they've produced, but I know he has a production company.
Yeah. But I think when I think of Sandman, it's a very tall, skinny person, and I don't think he is.
Well, Tom Cruise is very short, but yet he still seems... Action packed on screen
when you're looking at
in real life. Adam's probably more threatening than Tom Cruise.
It's true.
I don't know. Tom Cruise has that whole Scientology thing, so
that's true.
He's in his 50s.
You bring up both good points.
I'm a little more afraid of them than I am Adam
because of the Scientology.
Yeah,
but if it wasn't for that, though,
yeah,
you'd be more terrifying.
Adam, you might want to switch over.
The flip side of that is that there's characters like a Punisher movie that was rated PG-13. I wouldn't go see because you've kind of missed the point of the character.
Yeah, hey, that's the main problem with that.
But there are characters that you can go either way with. Daredevil was originally the movie was PG-13, but the R-rated version was a better version of the movie. The Daredevil TV show really would be a rated R TV. Movie.
What about an R-rated Ninja Turtles movie? Because when the comic first came out, that was a pretty dark.
I don't have a problem with that. If the story warrants it, I'm okay with it. Yeah. The problem specific to the Ninja Turtles is, the stories were dark, but it was never marketed that way. It was always marketed to kids.
Were the original comics marketed to kids?
No. But they didn't take off in popularity till the TV show and the movies.
I think at
this point it's synonymous.
Yeah,
with
but
being
still, there was something
thing.
There in that original
comics
that made them make the movie.
I'm not positive of how it went out, but I think what happened is that the book came out. They were like, we can do more with this. And they made a kids' TV show out of it.
We could totally put a bus in here that shoots manhole covers.
it works.
The pizza shooter was awesome.
But I think summing it up where you just said, if it warrants it, then so be it. You know?
Yeah. In any character, you could do a Death in the Family Batman, rated R Batman movie. It's appropriate. It could work. That's fine. The flip side of that is that's a movie... Or that's a character that's been marketed to such a broad audience.
Yeah.
You are going to lose out.
I think
you're leaving money on the table when you do that with that character.
I think the best
you're not doing that with Deadpool.
Lobo would be a rated R movie.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Daredevil was a good example of that because you've had two versions of the character. You've had the first movie with Ben Affleck come out where you were saying that it's they did an uncut version of it, but that movie was made not to give people a look of a comic book. It was a superhero blockbuster is what they were going for.
Yeah.
Where the Netflix series, which is definitely would be rated R, I'd say, is more mirroring the comic book. Mm-hmm. That's because that's what people are looking for. These people are looking for a more comic book. They're not looking for, we can make a blockbuster out of this. They're looking for that story, the little bit of darkness to it. And I think it reflects that character a lot better than Ben Affleck did. Not to say that Ben Affleck movie was bad.
No.
Now, I think that's kind of the thing with it. So doing this Deadpool, whatever you call it, Deadpoolization? whatever. I mean, if the story goes for it, then yeah.
Yeah, and that would be, not that I'm a movie producer, the first thing I'd say is,
I thought you were.
When did this happen?
I wish. Yeah. No, I gave up my studio. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm making the movie. If the first thing you say is, okay, we want it to be hard R, you've already missed a point.
Yeah. If that is the jumping off point for the planning of the movie, then yeah.
Yeah. Tell your story, and then, okay, this could kind of go either way. Yeah, then you make an economic decision.
But you can say, I want to make this movie and I want it to be unrestrained.
Yeah.
That you can say, but if your goal is just to have a hard R, then...
Yeah, and that's...
I think originally their goals for a lot of these movies when they first started coming out, when Spider-Man and all that was coming out, was a PG-13 straight on.
Well, yeah. Well, even the original, the Avengers, they
that
had
their
to...
goal.
Well, no, they had to trim parts of the Avengers when Coulson got killed to avoid an R rating. So, and I mean, you know, watching the Avengers... There's nothing other than, you know, the way he gets killed that would make me say, yeah, that would be an R-rated movie. But that's, you know, I don't think that was ever their intent, but you submit it for a rating, anything can happen. But if you say, okay, we're going to make a hard R movie, and Punisher Warzone, if you've ever seen that.
Have not seen that one.
I think that was their intent. I like that movie for what it is, but it's a very over-the-top...
For what it is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a very over-the-top, gory...
Really well.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. It was, let's take the Punisher Max, put it on screen, and that's
the only thing is, I think they tried to fit too much into that movie of Punisher Max, because they took it from, like, multiple volumes of the books.
Yeah, there was the Slavers, Kitchen Irish...
And it was all just mashed into one, like, movie, and I was like, this is too much. But Punisher Max was a really good series.
Yeah, it was.
But Kitchen Irish, that was good. But yeah, comic books. What's up with that? I'm breaking the silence.
Deadpool.
Do you have anything going on at the store right now?
Yeah, he's eating pretzel bites.
Can we title it?
I'm sorry.
We'll title it Deadpoolization.
How was
No, because then we got to go hard R.
How'd the in-store comic convention go for you?
No.
No, it was great. I mean, the actual in-store comic convention wasn't...
Has promise.
There's a lot they can do with it. Last year was the first year they did it, and it was a very small group that they tried it with. This year, I think they said something like 400 stores were participating.
It's a really cool idea.
It's a neat idea.
And they got some solid guests.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There was a survey and asked for our feedback. And for me, it was I think I actually outdid it today, which is good because it's basically a solid Wednesday I did on a Saturday, which normally a Saturday is about a third of that. So, it was a real good day. I mean, the sales I had certainly helped back issues and trades and stuff. It was neat. I think not that the host was necessarily bad. What I suggested is have two hosts so they can alternate, because especially you guys didn't see it, but by the end of the day he was shot.
He was shot. After each panel, he looked a bit more disheveled.
Yeah,
for a guy that was just sitting in one spot, like I don't know how you get disheveled just sitting in one spot. But like, sure, we get unbuttoned a little bit further, hair a little bit more frazzled, like this guy, a little sweatier. Like, the guy seemed like a nice guy, and we were giving a lot of crap saying that he didn't know comics at all. I think that was false. I think
that's
he did.
True. He really did.
I think he was just in a weird situation.
Yeah, where that came up, he probably got a list of books like that Matt Fraction did, and he kept coming back to Hawkeye. Well, Matt didn't want to talk about Hawkeye. He wanted to talk about his other books that are coming up, but
to
he kept kind of going...
To the point where Fraction initiated burrito protocol.
Yeah.
Had his kids put a burrito in the microwave for 20 minutes, then the fire alarm went off.
Yeah. And who was it? There was another. Dan DiDio. They kept asking him about animated stuff. I didn't have a problem with him not wanting to talk about what's coming up and then keep asking him questions about the June stuff to see if he would give any answers.
See the cracks.
But they kept giving him questions about DC Animated, and he kept going, I don't work in animated. I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't seem to realize that the publishing side is separate from the animation side, separate from the movie side.
And so that got a little frustrating. Yeah. And it's like, okay, ask it once. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't ask you that again. But then...
Because his role is co-publisher. The only person you could ask that would really go across all those boundaries is the chief creative officer, Jeff Johns.
Yeah, who wasn't there. But overall, I thought it was a really neat idea. It didn't quite work out like what I expected, where I thought maybe people would come, oh, my guy's on at 2, I'll come at 2 to see this. That really didn't materialize.
Yeah, I think I stuck around until
Adam was here until a little after 5.
Rick Remender, right?
Yeah, Rick Remender is the last one that I really wanted to see. So, yeah. And I would come in the main room, watch a panel that I wanted to watch, and I would, you know, walk around. And
mm-hmm. That's kind of what I thought more would happen, but not
shoot
as much.
Shit.
I watched until Marvel, and then I watched Marvel. No, I did. I watched Marvel, and I was not happy.
Marvel
with
was
them.
Really condescending.
They were
to
bad.
Its fans. Like, they're like, oh, and I guess we'll talk about X-Men, even though we don't even
yeah,
like X-Men.
This.
Why do we even publish X-Men? You know, they were, that was kind of
yeah,
their,
that's what he,
it
that's,
was Tom Brevoort,
that's what,
and that's kind of
Bendis
his shtick.
Said that. Brevoort yeah. was really weird in that whole yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be Bendis and Bunn.
Bendis,
and
Brevoort
was there.
No.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
He explained pizza. Civil War. That's the other thing. He explained Civil War to us. And Collins, what'd you say? You called shenanigans on it. He said,
oh, yeah.
He said, the thing
they said
about
it had
it is,
nothing to
yeah,
do with the movie.
It had nothing to do with the movie.
It's just
war.
A fluke that
they
there's a movie coming out called Civil War.
Yeah.
A fluke.
He said they were writing the story, and it was just like, this sounds like a Civil War type story, so they made it a Civil War type
surely
story.
They're not just
it
trying just to cash in
to
the
be
name.
That there's a movie yeah. coming out. And he mm-hmm. mentioned that. He's like, there is a movie coming up, but that wasn't the reason why we did it. Is what he said. And then
what
he explained, he was like, basically, you got a
and
pizza.
And then lightning.
And there's
him,
one
right?
side of the pizza, and all the toppings are on one yeah. side. All the toppings are on the other. Anchovies,
yeah,
pepperoni, Civil War, is what he said.
The weirdest thing with the format, and I think the biggest problem with the host, is where some of the things were described as, like, keynote speeches.
There wasn't.
There wasn't
was,
a speech at all. It was
no.
just a Q&A. Like, there was supposed to be...
I wish it had been more them talking about their stuff. He needed to step back a little more.
Like,
he was
it should have been him asking
involved.
Questions after they did their
mm-hmm.
presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because mm-hmm. he was taking Twitter questions and Facebook questions. But it was just... Every single section felt like just an awkward interview. Mm-hmm. The only one that broke away from that a bit was the Valiant one, because whenever he
yeah.
wanted to start asking questions from social media, he got one question, and they were like, all right, yeah, we have some questions on our social media, and they started just reading off their own questions and picking them and,
yeah.
and answering, and it felt a much less awkward
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Which
the
they
one
should
thing,
take some direction from that and look yeah. at it and say, hey, that worked out better than the Valiant.
Yeah.
The one thing I loved that none of you got to see was Kevin Eastman at the very end. He was as cool as he was in Portland, where he just loves what he does. He loves being a comic book guy. And it came totally came through. He's like, because he asked him in Portland if he would do this, and he said absolutely. And then you saw him on this thing, and he was just like, you know, if you guys do this again, I'm in. I'll do whatever you need. You know, I think this is great. I'm out there talking to all these people. This is fantastic. And just his excitement and joy for what he does, even though he's been doing it for so long, was really, really awesome to see.
I think a lot of that with him has to. He's like set. Like he's got. He can do whatever he wants because he's made so much money
yeah.
off of the.
Yeah,
the,
and he's
franchise.
Like exclusive with IDW, and he's got some stuff coming.
Yeah,
but
he knows
it was just
he's a fortunate. You know,
yeah,
and he's just.
But he's appreciative.
He's
of it.
Doing what
well.
He's doing what he loves, and he appreciates that people.
Yeah.
bought into it and that they
yeah.
love, you know, his
yeah,
creation.
But he's not
yeah.
a bitter old guy who was successful in the past and stuff. He was just joyful. It was it was
yeah.
really nice to see that. Other than that, yeah, not a whole lot. Cullen Bunn did answer my question to me on Twitter. I enjoyed
did
that.
Did you get to watch the Hanna-Barbera question? Panel?
I did. My problem was I couldn't
on.
Watch. Like I at the very end, it was 8:00. Nobody was here. I was able to watch it.
What was your question to Bunn?
My question to him is he was sitting at a desk and he had bookshelves behind him. And
you
could
everything
clear...
he wrote this week.
Yeah, that's what he faced.
That was literally my question. I said, is that a bookshelf behind you? Every book, all of your, you know, everything you've published. Because you could see it was Sixth Gun was two hardcovers
okay.
behind him. And he responded back after. He said, no, that's on the other wall.
It takes
but, time. But he was, but I mean, he's responded, ha, you know, very
yeah.
good naturedly.
He was like, ha, and then like, hashtag. Jerkwad.
No. No, but
where's the shelf of your books?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of potential to this.
It needs
more
time.
Yeah, it needed like the exclusive issue, you know, the variants I had. Yeah. You know, there was nothing there too exciting. There was a
No, your local comic shop day. was better for that than this thing was.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that's something that could be made better.
A technical problem I had with it was audio. Like, and I know it's hard with Skype.
There was, yeah. Well, the problem was...
There were some people that were really loud, and then you had, like, the interviewer, which was, like, really loud.
And it was really never synced up.
And then it
didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You could deal with that, but even the host wasn't synced up.
Yeah.
But who knows? That could be my system. That could be... who knows? But overall, I thought it was interesting. I definitely would do it again.
Yeah.
It was fun.
What feedback did you get from your customers at all, if any?
Not a ton. I haven't really heard anything. So, yeah, if you guys were here and came, you know, give me your feedback.
Yeah, because a lot of people just, like, kind of walked past it.
I didn't want to set up chairs or, you know, I didn't quite know how to handle it. I saw other stores, like,
get into Hall H.
It almost looked like they rented a TV and had it on a table type thing, and then they had, like, some of the books around it, like, they took pictures like that. So, I don't know.
I wish there were. We had more.
Did they have any way where you could get, like, creators? Now, I obviously not.
Like, to have somebody doing signing?
Yeah,
I mean, I could have. I didn't quite know what to do with it.
If you were going to try it out, something like that would make sense.
Would you think about doing something like that later?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Because you've been burned by signings?
I haven't been burned, but they've been less than enthusiastically received. We'll
I think if you do it on a Saturday and you got that going on and all that, it probably would help.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying Saturday go out and get Jeff Johns, and Saturday was a tough day anyway because that was like the first nice day we've had in forever.
Yeah. Hey, what are the chances every year if they have it around this time? What are the chances that it's going to be a nice day?
Right, and I mean that's part of it. Is they want to have this before the convention season starts. Yeah. That's kind of
that's
the idea.
Tough,
But it was fine. It was fun.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it cost me $25 to do it.
Of the companies, with Marvel and DC, if they had some sort of news that they could bring to it. Like, one big thing that they could be like, oh, by the way, we'll mention this. And be like, oh, that's a cool thing to mention just for this thing.
But, like, Dan didn't. He said he didn't quite know what to make of it and didn't really promote it or anything. So I think I kind of got the idea, and I think I promoted it the way I should have. So... I think I did it right, you know, trying to make it like a convention in the store.
Because
I thought, what happens if you go to a convention? What are you looking for? You're looking for cheap back issues. You're looking for that guy who's selling the trades cheap and action figures. So that's why I picked what I picked.
Makes sense.
Did you order the bases?
Yeah, I ordered those. I told you. I ordered those right then.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're not on next week's invoice yet, but...
The bases.
He wanted more of those bases for the action figures.
Action figures, yeah.
Yeah.
I bought two action figures, and I was asking at the bases, and sadly, he was all out.
I failed.
The DC.
Yeah, and see, now you got to buy 20 of them because that's how he sells them.
Yeah,
but they're cheap.
They're really cheap, yeah.
I know, I have them. I bought three bags of them.
Did you have any of the pegs for
where
the feet go in a loose?
Yes.
You had to re-glue them? I had that a lot.
I ordered them before.
No, but
don't
have those coming. But I do have your ABC board book and your Busy Bodies board book and your even.
Thank God, I'm getting so behind.
I know. And you're a Force dictionary, so. Sorry, I was just looking at my DC section.
I already bought my first dictionary. It's the DC superhero one.
That must be replacing the one you got.
Okay.
The
best ABC book you've ever had in the store is the Neil Gaiman. ABC book that was kind of like horror themed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any kid that doesn't know their ABCs would be terrified by the content.
I'm never reading again.
I don't want to know the alphabet. Scary.
That was for Lucifer. Lucifer will steal your soul.
So that was the in-store convention. What do you have going on currently in the store?
Currently, we're still doing the alphabet sale, which we're up to F and S. And then next year, next week will be G and T. And no, I haven't thought of any G or T. So we'll ask
lucky
that later.
Lucky for you, we have.
There you go.
You want to come around?
Oh, you guys ready? You ready now?
Yeah,
go.
Ready to go.
I'll go first. GCPD.
Help yourself.
GCPD. And you have tons of Transformers.
I have Gotham Central. Yeah. I don't think I have any GCPD.
That's what it was called.
No, Gotham Central.
It's still G, so
right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I know, but I think the books are
called Gotham. Gotham Central. You're right. It is Gotham Central. And there are tons of Transformer books, like classic, new.
But those
you're
aren't
wanting people to
those aren't real comic books,
right?
That's right. Those aren't real comic books.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not.
It's derivative.
Yeah. Oh.
Gotcha.
Just like you.
Wow. Man, that's harsh.
That was hard.
Man, that was...
Why is it a Deadpoolization of May?
That's the title.
For G, I got Green Arrow Year One, which I really like that, and it ties in a lot with some of the stuff they did on the show, especially early in the first season of the Arrow show. There's a lot of references. And then for T, Teen Titans Earth One, which...
You broke in half.
Huh?
That's the one you broke in half.
He was so excited.
Yeah, I was.
Green Arrow Year One, that's a great series. By
Andy Diggle.
Andy and Diggle Jock. And Jock, yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't think of any G's besides harking back to my childhood and say Marvel, the Marvel G.I. Joe series.
There's a lot of G.I. Joe books.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because what's better than Major Blood and Tomax and Zamot?
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Exactly.
He has no idea who you're talking about.
Rough idea. They're twins, but their names were...
Tomax and Zamot. They were the leader of the Crimson Guard.
There's a Thor series I really like. It's called Thor... I think it's called Thor the Mighty Avenger by Roger Langridge in...
But they totally mismarketed.
Chris Samnee.
The failure of that book was on Marvel.
Yeah. It is excellent. It's not in continuity, but it is really good. I don't know if that's still in print or if you get that. Okay, yeah. Great.
They made it into one volume, which I appreciated.
Okay.
For G, my first instinct is to say the Green Lantern run by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. But since we already have a Green Lantern, or sorry, I said Green Lantern. I meant Green Arrow. Since we have two Green Arrow picks, I'll give another G also, Ghosted from Image. I think that recently wrapped up its run, but I read the first two trades of it so far, and it's been pretty good. And for T, I'll just say the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book by IDW.
The classic stuff is always good, too.
The classic's good, but the new stuff has been good.
That's what I've heard, yeah. There's a lot of... They even have, like, little spinoff books, too. Like the
Yeah, they had some mini-series ones. But, yeah, I picked up a bunch during a sale a while back and plowed through them, I think, on a plane, and it was...
Eastman's back on.
He is, yeah. It was pretty enjoyable.
So that'll keep the book at least in classic continuity as well. So that's cool. You had time to think.
Yeah, I'm not coming. GM Green Arrow, not to harp on Green Arrow, but I'm taking there the... there's that series of the Mike Grell stuff that I feel I was partially responsible for coming into print, because I asked DC to print them. And
they did.
They did. So, and we're up to volume 4. So apparently they're doing well for everybody, but it's always nice when you ask for something and it appears, because that doesn't always happen in life.
You saved this paperback.
I have not failed the paperback, Ice. And T, I can't really, off the top of my head, not looking at T's.
Typewriter.
Or something like Transmetropolitan that I've never read, but I really want to read. Yeah. Jump in on that and keep buying volume 1 so I can never read it, because it's one that I want to, but the time I have to read a 10-volume set is... minimal. Maybe I'll take it to the beach.
Then you're going to get sand in your comics.
Yeah. Don't ever get it out.
Well, you still go to the beach this year with the whole...
No, not the whole family, just with Sandy's friend. As far as I know, we had to move it, so we're going first week in July.
Did you lose your deposit?
No. Okay. No, we were able to move it. It was because of the strike. We had to move it. We were going to go
through. I knew that, but you were worried you were going to lose your deposit.
She was able to move it, which was cool. I don't know about the family trip. Especially right now. I'm going to say no.
Small Miracles?
Oh, no. It's a Beverly Hills theme song. things are a little chaotic.
Texas Tea.
So those are the sales. Oh, and then I also have, in honor of Batman versus Superman, which comes out...
17 days. 16 days.
Okay. Where I'm doing 25, or not 25, double points. Oh, it's on the alphabet sale is 25% off all graphic novels, starting with FNS this week and GNT next week. And it's double points on any Batman or Superman, or Batman and Superman trades.
Is it double points for both in the trade?
Nope. No. Nice try, though.
Now, if you happen to buy a Batman or Serum book that falls in the alphabet cell to the sales stack.
It does. Ooh. They stack, although the double points are on the lower amount. So
yeah, it's, that
but that's still
fair.
Right.
That's fair.
So it does.
It does. You know, and actually, somebody bought Superman Batman Volume 1 yesterday, and I forgot to give them double points. I gave them the sale, but I forgot the double points. Well, I had been Saturday was a little, I don't want to say stressful, but busy, and then I wasn't here Sunday and Monday, and so Tuesday morning I was not. Sharp.
Your order came in.
Did you tell him to come back and get your points?
I did. I told him. He emailed. He said, did you give me double points? I said, I'm sorry. You know, next time you're in, we'll have those points. So I will always own up to my mistakes. So
that's why you're senior shopkeep.
I am. That's why I'm the boss. So that's all that's going on right now. I don't have any plans right now. I'm trying to work out some fun stuff for Free Comic Book Day. It's not fun stuff. It is. It is. Well, it's 2 months, so.
It's not really.
Well.
You got a month and a couple weeks.
Well.
6 weeks.
Well, it's the 7th, and today's the 9th, so.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying.
Oh, is that late?
Yeah, it's May 7th. Yeah. So, which is nice, because when it was May 1st 1 year, and it just, like, caught you off guard, because you weren't mentally ready for that.
All you got to know is. Marvel movie comes out, and the next day is Free Comic Book.
Yes, yes. So the only bad thing is everybody thinks it's first Saturday in May, there's the mental of May 1st.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be people on May 1st looking for the free stuff.
Like, get out.
Be able to point at the boxes saying, there it is.
Well, except for May 1st is a Sunday.
Yeah.
So right, so I won't be here, but the stuff will be here.
Anyway, that's future Collins' properly. Problem, so you don't have to worry about.
That's pretty much how I'm looking at it, yes. That's I'd way hate to be that far guy. Away.
Future Collins is sitting there saying, it's future Collins' problem. That's what they said.
Yeah. No, we'll get there. But, like, yeah, I just got a ton of action figures in and stuff, so I'm slowly gearing up. Yeah, because, I mean, I really don't order extra stuff in other than the Free Comic Book Day books. So, and those are already ordered.
What about, like, all the trades that you know you sell? Copies of.
Yeah. Well, that's a slower process because I don't want to. I mean, my reorder this week was huge just because of the sale and how much I sold on Saturday. So
it's good though.
Oh, it is. It is. It is.
Kind of what you wanted.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, you also want
you
to
move
to
stuff that kind of has been sitting there.
Right. Then I don't need to worry about reordering. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I sold a full run of Chew, so I had to reorder that back in. Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't hurt me. That doesn't.
That's one I've always been interested in checking out.
I was with it for a while, and then just, you know, when I can't keep up with everything, I try.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's going on here. I'm glad the weather's breaking. Hopefully, maybe
temperature.
Since I have not so much a temperature. No, 70% off. No. but I might have some sidewalk sales. We might pull some stuff up from the basement, get some dollar books outside. Now that I have a little more help, I could send a couple people downstairs to attack that.
No, we know what you meant. You had Adam, and that's
He needs supervision.
Both statements are accurate.
Yes, that's true.
Supervise each other.
So that's about it going on here. So,
would you
read
Dave?
What? Dave, we'll let Dave start.
That way we can interrupt him.
No, this way we aren't antsy yet. So
I gave him an assist last time.
He won't get interrupted.
Oh, Pat.
I read Black Widow number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
Colin talked about that a little bit last week. Did you read that, Adam? Okay, good. This is a new series by Mark Waid, Chris Samnee.
Yeah.
And this starts right in the middle of the action with Widow trying to escape from a helicarrier, and she's apparently stolen something, and she's now considered an enemy of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this is pretty much an all-action issue.
Pretty much.
Not much.
Nothing happened.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say nothing happened, but it basically went from...
Everything happened.
Maria Hill going, stole something.
Action,
to, at the end, she finally takes down the last S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that was trying to catch her.
Yeah.
And it was basically one long
action scene. You can pretty well sum it up in just that.
Yeah, it was one long...
She escapes from the helicarrier with something and takes down a bunch of agents.
But I can also say, if you didn't read this and started with issue two, I think you'd be okay.
Yeah.
You know, you
and then at the end, she's just like, I'm hoping this was all worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty art. The art was good and stuff, but it just...
I expected more.
There wasn't a whole lot of story.
I expected a lot out of it because of their run on Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. The hopes are really high for,
because it looked
second,
really
for
nice.
The second issue. Oh, it was beautiful, yeah. But, yeah, that's about all things to say about that one, I guess. Second one, I'll talk about Dreaming Eagles, number 3. This is from Aftershock. This is the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. The first black fighter pilots in the United States Air Force. It's kind of, there's a lot
it's
of
Garth Ennis, right?
It's Army Garth Ennis. Yeah, Garth Ennis is writing it. This is kind of this all these issues have been framed by this father, you know, talking to his son about what it was like for him, you know, back in the airmen. And I don't know, this is kind of filling the Rebels void for me to get some historical fiction. Even though in this issue, it's the story of Benjamin O. Davis, who was an Air Force general and commander of the Tuskegee Airmen 99th Fighter Squadron. And he's forced to defend his fellow airmen because the colonel of the fighter group they're assigned to, he writes in a report that that the Tuskegee Airmen are pretty much worthless and don't know how to fly and can't fly in bad weather.
What?
And everything else, yeah. I know, it's hard to believe people were...
what a scumbag.
People were racist scumbags back then, but yeah. And there's another cool sequence. They're flying over Mount Vesuvius, in the Italian peninsula, and they're caught with in an ash eruption. So the art's really nice. Simon Colby's doing the art. Wasn't familiar with him before this, but art's really nice. And it's filling that Rebels void for me. It's showing, you know, the human cost of war and the people behind the war efforts in the past. So it's a good book. I don't know if it's. I think it's just a limited series. I don't know if it's. Can't see it being ongoing. And the only other one I read was Darth Vader.
Yeah, I read that.
Number 17. This is the continuation of the Shu-Turan War with the Vader assassinated the royal family on this planet, Shu-Turan, and installed the daughter's queen. And the ore barons are starting to rebel. And Vader's and the queen are trying to do what they can to quell them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the story's grabbing me too much.
No, it's not. Not like, I think because it's following so much of Vader. That's what we've talked about this book, being a very good Aphra book.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Aphra has been apprehended by the Rebels. We didn't talk about that Star Wars book last. I don't think the last Star Wars issue, but she's being held in this prison that's inside a sun, a star.
Yeah.
But yeah, she wasn't in this book at all, so that kind of held it back a little bit.
Although she was apparently disintegrating.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the bounty hunter brings ashes to Vader and says it's Aphra's.
He looked a lot like Boba Fett. I mean, he wasn't, but like it was very reminiscent of Mandalorian armor.
When Darth Vader originally though commissioned this whole group of bounty hunters, he met up with that one that was killed in Star Wars not that long ago, which I thought communication needs to be a little better with the Star Wars team. That if you kill a guy off, but telling the other people that he's dead, you know. But Darth Vader still is my favorite of the Star Wars books, but this one, yeah, it hasn't been as good. I think it's because people are liking Aphra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were liking her as
Aphra
a character.
Aphra and the
better.
Droids. The droids were only in it for a few panels,
and
I think.
This one's been a lot of Darth Vader.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's all I read. It was a small week last week. So
it was a small week.
I hope you appreciate. I texted Pat to ask for a drink because I didn't want to interrupt you.
He did.
Thank you, Josh. I do.
You're welcome,
that.
Dave.
Okay, pipe down, Dave. Pat.
Well, I thought Josh and Pat are going to, or do you?
No, we'll just go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
He was all
you
set.
You can back clean up. All right.
I lose a lot in this game, so it's fine. I appreciate not having to be humiliated.
The first one I was The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Wow, you sound excited. Yeah,
are you still reading that, or Colin?
I'm behind. I haven't really read the last two. Uh-oh. I flipped through. I know what happened, but...
Okay. It was... I read the letters... occasionally, and Kirkman specifically said in the month before that what happened in this issue was not going to happen.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like, all the more reason why I just don't like him sometimes. But what happens is, it starts off where the last issue ended with Eugene is on a ham radio, and he starts communicating with some other group. Now... last month, I wasn't sure if he was actually talking to someone or if he was pulling a wreck. Because Rosita had been killed by the Whisperers, and I figured, maybe Rick had to telephone talk to Lori. Maybe that's what's going on. But it sounds like, or it seems like, no, this is actually happening. He's talking to another group.
And not only any group, it's a big group. It's according to what he's saying. I like how they were communicating back and forth and trying to figure out, well, should I trust you? But if you tell us a little bit, then... good with that, then I'll give you a little bit, of information.
Yeah, it was very, both sides were very guarded, yet at the same time we're giving some information.
The other side more than Eugene. Eugene jumped on the bandwagon because he was like, oh, maybe this guy's right. Maybe I shouldn't tell him anything.
Yeah.
Where this guy was just like, he was explaining it to him, which was funny. He was just like, well, you don't want to tell me too much because what if I'm a bad guy and I'm coming to kill your group? We have a lot, It was an interesting conversation.
And then in the end, Rick gets attacked again, which that seems to happen in every issue now. But he beats the hell out of his attacker, and it was the son of one of the guys he killed, I think, two issues ago.
Yeah.
Because he had tried to kill Rick. He was also the kid that, might have been like 10 issues ago, beat Carl with a brick.
Yeah.
So, Rick kind of had it out for this kid to begin with. Well, he decides he's going to free Negan. And that's where we left it with Negan has apparently escaped.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is Rick is having them put spray paint up on walls, silence the Whisperers.
He's trying to create
he's starting a propaganda campaign, which I thought was kind of interesting.
And his explanation to Michonne about why he was doing it when he originally said he didn't want to start war, and in this he said straight out, he wanted to make sure that they were,
It was, I got to direct the anger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was smart.
Not a bad issue, to tell you the truth. It just, the story isn't really going anywhere. There's not so much zombies anymore, because they're, but the story's never supposed to be about zombies, and that's what they've said. It's there, but it's about them surviving an apocalypse. The apocalypse just so happens to have zombies.
Right. Yeah. It could have just as easily been they killed everything off, but it's just one more danger for them.
Yes.
So it was a decent issue.
That kid is going to die, though. Set Negan go, because he's going out now into this whole situation. He's not going to survive out there.
No. No. Negan's going to feed him to the lions. Yeah, that's...
I'm curious about what Negan's going to do. Like, what's his plan here?
Yeah.
Okay, now that he's out, what's he going to do? Is he going to go to the Whisperers? Is he going to take over their group? Is he going to...
He's definitely an alpha. Yeah. So I could see him doing that, but we'll see. The next one I read was Sheriff of Babylon, which I think I'm the only one here reading that, but it's...
Yeah, but you have me sold on the idea of reading it in trades.
It's... Know. So, this issue, at the end of last issue, Nasir, who was the... He was, I guess he was an investigator for the old Iraqi police force. He's been helping Christopher, who is an American, I guess he's a consultant is what he really is, training the Iraqi police force. One of the trainees had been killed, and Nasir's helping him. Well, Nasir had been captured at the end of last issue by a group, and he agrees to cooperate with them. So... They're going to take him home, and he asks if they can take him to the mosque so he can pray. And they agree to, and then when they leave the mosque, Nasir's wife is waiting for them, and she's all burked up. You can't see who it is. And she opens fire on the other guys and kills them. And then Nasir goes to Christopher to protect him inside the Green Zone in Baghdad. And then Sophia, The book actually opens with the story of where her name came from, and her name is not Sophia. That's the anglicized version of it. It's actually, I forget what it was, but it's something very similar. I think it's Sophia. But the story was she was actually Muhammad's wife, or that's where the name came from. And she goes about and tells this whole story, and then we find out she's pregnant. And in the last issue, we found out her and Christopher were together. She was attacked by a rocket, and I guess she's going to lose the baby. And when it seems like when she's going to tell Christopher, she finds out Nasir and his wife are there. So it's they kind of all talk and figure that. It's probably the same group attacking everybody, so they're going to work together to try to find out who these people are. There's a lot of intrigue in the book. It's been really good. Tom King wrote it, and I know you're a big Tom King fan, so...
Yeah, he's great.
It's been really good. Green Lantern.
Yeah, I read this. Mixed feelings about it.
Yeah. So
good. I took it home. 50 Great Bill Sienkiewicz cover.
Really nice cover.
Yeah.
The Parallax, you know, he finally does more than just float out in space and like, oh, I'm going to protect Coast City.
Yeah.
It starts off with him in his own universe as a younger version of Hal with Coast City in ruins, and then kind of flashes back forward to present time and in the present universe.
He seems very confused. Like, I thought he knew he was going to some alternate universe and stopping himself from doing what he did in his universe. But then he seems confused. Like,
yeah, when he talked to Hal, he didn't seem that way.
When he talked to Hal and when he saw his family, like when he saw Howard, and when he's like, but you're not supposed to be here. And,
yeah.
Well, he was originally a convergent supposed to go to the time when Crisis happens.
They said they could go to any point they wanted to.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't go to the Crisis. I thought he was help stop Crisis.
No.
Okay.
Didn't he say like he had something to do first?
Superman
there,
though?
They were able to choose where they wanted to go.
I thought Superman did say that, though, in Convergence.
Superman.
That they were going back to help with. So Crisis didn't happen. No,
I guess you have to reconvergence again.
Yeah.
Do it. Slog through that. Good luck.
While you're at it, rebattle the Atom, too.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
Maybe Fear Itself.
Ah, no.
Spider-Verse.
Well, he already,
took it all the way with Fear Itself, so now nothing else.
I triple dog dare him. You can't get back from that. Yeah.
You're trying to think of something worse, like you're.
Good luck. Yeah, I.
So, like the story, the conflict was fine. The fighting between them, they're really trying to push this whole, you know, Hal with his family thing, which, you know, I get, but. Yeah.
You know, one thing that kind of threw me off is you have older Hal that shows up, and he just helps Howard get his toy out of the tree, his drone.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, our Hal Jordan out of nowhere just attacks him. And, like, previous Hal, that would have made sense. But after the whole thing with him taking over the Green Lantern Corps and then doing his best for the
Corps, think he'd be a little bit more mature.
Because there was a big thing with him, you know, learning to not just
hit first, ask questions later, yeah.
And he just starts, you know, beating a crap out of this guy. And even as the older version of him is trying to, you know, talk to him at one point before he goes full parallax, he's still just, you know, beating the hell out
of
him.
That's the part that got me. Because at first I was like, well, wait a second. This doesn't make sense. Because the new 52 Jordan was like, yeah, all that stuff did happen. They rebuilt Coast City. Yeah. I know about Paris. Because I was like, how the hell did... I forgot that New 52 kept the old continuity for Green Lantern.
Yeah, because whenever Green Lantern started, he didn't have a ring. Sinestro had a ring, and Sinestro kept talking about him as Parallax.
Yeah, I was like, this doesn't make sense. How would he know all that? And then after I finished it, that's when I realized,
it's a lot because they... Early on, they weren't wanting to show you so much if the continuity's connected. Now they don't care.
Yeah.
So when they're writing this story, they're not caring if they go to Earth. That was the main reason why keeping Hal away from the Justice League. Because they didn't want him tying in any way so that story could continue.
Yeah. So as the fight escalated, older Hal started slipping more and more into the Parallax persona.
Mode.
Like full-blown, you know, sharp teeth and... You know, crazy eyes and everything.
Yeah, and then Hal kind of becomes a construct.
Well, yeah, that's a bit confusing. There might have been a mistake with the art because he becomes the construct, and then they show him as himself, like on the ground, you know, breathing heavily, and then he's a construct again, saying like something's wrong, like or something happened to him.
Well, I didn't necessarily see that as a mistake, necessarily, or maybe, like, he can't control it, and, like, he broke it for a second.
It seemed like they were trying to play it off that he has become this, so I don't know. It was weird. It kind of threw me off.
They're going to fuse the two of them together. And
I feel like that panel showing him as himself shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Save that for the next issue, then, when you're explaining
it. Yeah, I could see that.
It's just out of confusion.
I like the idea of having two of them there, because that means there's two of the entity there in this universe. So there's the one with Sinestro.
Isn't the entity gone? Isn't Sinestro's entity gone now, though? Didn't he lose that when he was on Apocalypse?
No, it was the only...
I thought when he was on Apocalypse, something happened.
He used it for something, and I don't remember if it was for that or if it was... You're right, though. He did...
It was before I stopped
reading. He kind of suicided
the
Parallax entity.
Yeah. Because it wasn't used in the Source Wall.
Because they had the tech to siphon off his power.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
I never understood how...
Well, that was the other... They had to sacrifice all the other entities... In order
for the
Source Wall, without Parallax.
Kyle Rayner had all those entities in him, and then he went into the Source Wall.
I feel like their intent was to revisit that and somehow explain how they're still around. But
I just don't understand how he was able to become White Lantern without using all of their. Or I mean, he could become White Lantern anyways, but
he had all the ring.
The ring was already made.
He didn't have to replenish the yellow, though. He replenished all the rest, but the yellow is still being used up.
No, he has the blue. Blue can recharge yellow.
I guess that would work, yeah.
Yeah, because that's a point in the Sinestro book now that they have Saint Walker to help charge them. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did they explain that, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, they're using that now.
He charges? I thought he just enhanced the power.
He can charge them.
Oh.
Yeah, it always seemed like, because whenever he's around, like their power goes up like 300%.
Yeah, I thought he just kind of like overclocked them.
Yeah,
right.
I never realized it did it with all of them. I always thought it would just did it with the green for some reason. Huh.
Well, no, what I mean is I thought the power being expended from the rings was overclocked. Not so much if the ring was out of juice,
he
could charge it.
No, he can charge them apparently, so. Deadpool. He's fighting Sabretooth. Moving on.
Why are you selling this kid books he doesn't want to buy?
No, I'll put it this way. This was the first issue of this arc. It was much better than the previous arc, but I feel so burned on the previous arc that I'm putting a toe in the pool, but that's where I'm at right now, which is sad. And the last one was Batman and Robin Eternal.
I read that.
I like the story.
The art, man.
The art sucks.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, which book?
Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah, this story has been really good.
Dick Grayson had a
good
Popeye look the whole time.
Their faces.
Why was he squinting?
He had one eye closed the whole time.
He had the one eye closed because that's when Damien punched him in the face.
It didn't look like a swollen eye.
No, it didn't. I get you. I that's why they drew it like that. But yeah, I agree. At the beginning, when they were all talking, you remember that?
I am what I am.
Yes. When the whole they had that whole spread page, like there was top and then a lot at the bottom, and they were all talking.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Grayson like kept squinting, and then like Jason Todd was doing the same thing, but nobody else was. And Damien was drawn really weird.
They all were.
This was very horrible.
Did Damien look like Sweet Pea?
Yes. Damien looked just like Sweet Pea.
Yeah, like
outfit and everything. And
Jason Todd was Jeep. And
during Dan Dio's section on that in-store convention, he mentioned how, you know, getting books out on time has never been a problem for DC. They had all these weekly books going and never missed a ship date. And I just wanted someone to tweet him and say, but the way you're handling the artists is kind of poor.
I think they're being rushed more than anything.
Yeah.
I doubt they're bad artists because it doesn't look like it's bad.
No,
I feel like they're
trying to get something out so quickly instead of having four artists that are all in a constant rotation.
Which in a way hurts it in one way because, you know, you're going to want – this is a really good story. And for future like readers of this, when we make it into a hardcover and a,
they're gonna have someone go back through and redraw.
Yeah,
the
are you gonna
thing.
Redraw that? No, it's gonna be all of a sudden mismatched and weird looking. And it's just like, why? You had such a good story, and it's a really good story so far. It's a visual medium, and you can't ignore
the visual aspect of it.
I wasn't totally on board with saying straight out that it was better than Batman Eternal, but. Right now, like I am, because the story has been really decent.
I feel like the art was stronger with Batman. Yes, Batman Eternal than
and so. For having more issues too is something. So.
But what? See, this has been a consistent story all the way throughout. Where Batman Eternal was essentially three or four different stories that all merged together at the end. Yeah. This never did that.
That's why it's been a good story.
But that helped Batman Eternal because you had
longer.
A different. Well, yeah, but you had different writers writing their own story,
different artists.
That's true. So that artist was focusing on a certain arc.
That's a good call on that.
The other word, like, they just got all down on themselves, and then Damien was, you know, the one who was like, snap out of it!
Yeah. Well, I kind of
Batman
liked
loves
that.
You
I
all.
I did like that part in it because I
didn't.
Thought, I did.
Oh yeah, I did.
I liked the story liked part it. Of it, but yeah. It was kind of like out of place.
Well,
I could see Damien cracking Grayson across the face.
I could definitely see him doing that, but
he like, also somebody
all,
had to do it.
They're all just like really down on. Oh, we failed. Oh, it's all hard.
Well,
was Batman or Eeyore? Eeyore Eternal.
I'd buy that book.
Oh dear.
Eeyore and Piglet Eternal.
Oh dear.
Oh bother. Looks like the Joker got out of Arkham.
He's got my tail. But, you know, it's setting up Endgame now. So, not the story Endgame, but the Endgame of this.
Yeah, because there's, what, four issues?
Four issues, and yeah, because there's, what, 26?
The one today is the cover was kind of interesting with Midnighter on the front of it.
Yeah.
So I guess they've called in some allies. Which is what they should have done to begin with. They haven't, you know, they're going to need more. Well, I kept thinking while they're arguing in this last issue about the satellite, and I'm just like, okay, go find one of the people, superheroes in the world who can fly into space and just blow it up. Like,
Moonlighter. Oh,
but they're not, well, Superman we can't use because in this, I'm sure he's depowered if Batman has no memory. But yeah, yep. You're just sitting there.
Wonder
like,
Woman
something.
Can fly. Green Lantern can fly.
Can she fly into space though?
Nah, I don't think she can.
Cause she's supposed to breathe, I think.
Yeah, I don't think she can.
Isn't she? Does she have to breathe, Colin?
Does Wonder Woman have to breathe, Colin?
There's a funny story where
we always ask him when he stuffed his face with a pretzel.
Because he's been stuffing his face with pretzels for an hour.
Stop! I have not. I've been nibbling.
At least it's not a whole bag.
How many have you had?
I don't know.
Where
she could, her earrings contained air that she could breathe while in outer space. That was a story back in like the 60s.
That's not.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous, of course.
I think she's, I think there was a part where
she could fly the invisible jet up into
space
and then.
I don't think she could be in space for that long. I think she could be in there for a certain amount of time.
Okay, well, there's still Hal Jordan or Simon Baz or.
I don't know how far she can fly.
Simon who? Actually, no, he's in. He's
why don't
in
you just
universe.
Ask Chip to do
that's
it?
Right, yeah.
Like, or Bad. Yeah. Chip's dad.
Well, but Gnort.
Gnort could do it.
Yeah. They're all gone right now.
All dead.
Get Shazam.
A silence. We have a moment of silence.
Who?
Shazam.
It sounds familiar. It sounds like a character I read some backup issues, yeah, the backup yeah, stories for once. Yeah.
I always feel bad for him because he can't even really introduce himself.
There's so
he
much.
Tries to breathe too. He's a human. I mean, he's
but
magic,
he's got magic.
He's good.
Still,
I think he'll be alright.
He could stand under it, yell out his name, have the lightning go through it, and fry it.
Yeah.
Cyborg, you know, Cyborg would be the perfect
well,
one to fix this problem.
Well, yeah, because the satellite's in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it could he could still do that. Oh. See, we're thinking of ideas. No wonder Damien smacked him across the face. That's
Corgus.
Yeah. Just shoot a missile at it. We're done.
EMP.
Yeah. I mean, we're just taking forever to figure out how to do this. I don't know. But it was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all right.
Well, I have.
We did not be prepared.
No, I'm ready.
Do you mean go? Okay.
Batman Beyond?
I read it.
Okay. Batman is going up against the Splicers.
Yeah.
Who were a group that Brother Eye kind of put in charge of that area, is what I was taking that as. They also had, like, the Justice League. I wasn't quite understanding this issue because we've already saw a Superman that had, like, robot legs and was already taken by... I didn't understand where this Justice League could have set itself up in this future, because...
Well, I think the Superman with robot legs has been around for several years.
Yeah.
And after the original Justice League had started to fall to Brother Eye, I think new members started going to the ranks. Or that, or the Justice League was expanded, and the core team was starting to get assimilated by Brother Eye. And
well,
these
characters, this Justice League is the Justice League that Pat was talking about from the cartoon.
From the cartoon.
So you have the little Asian Green Lantern guy.
Yeah, Aquaman's daughter.
Yeah, she's
Big Barda.
Big Barda is around. Big Barda you wouldn't know because that happened in the comic book.
Okay.
Big Barda and...
But there was a... There was a Hawkman. It was like more iron.
Yes. Not Darkhawk. That's another book. Warhawk?
That sounds right.
I think
yeah,
that's what his name is. Yeah. It's the son of Hawkgirl
and Green Lantern, John
Stewart.
Lantern. Yeah,
yeah. So all these characters exist. I just didn't understand how they could exist in this weird future. They didn't make any sense. But when they're freed from from the Watchtower, which has crashed into Metropolis somehow, I think.
Correct.
They used it to knock
out the
satellite.
Is it the one that Brother Eye was in? Because he was in the Watchtower, wasn't he? That's what he was using as his base of operations.
Uncertain.
Yeah, that I was thrown by. Yeah. So there's a lot of things I was really thrown off by in this issue. Not to say it was bad, though. It's.
I don't think it's what he was in whenever they stopped him in this book.
Like, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure what was going
on. Wasn't
he
on the moon or something?
Yeah, he might have been on the moon. Yeah, that might have been it. He might have turned the moon into a satellite. Or it's already a satellite, but... into his base of operation. Now I can't remember. I'm going to have to go back. God forbid.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of...
that first
I'm pretty
part.
Sure there's some sort of installation on the moon that he...
Was
on. Was on, yeah.
I don't know. It's good. What I like
it's
about
much
the story,
better than it was when Brother yeah. I was.
I like about the story is that it's kind of it reminds me of how why I like Earth 2.
Yeah,
and it's that you're setting up something's happened in the past. They fixed it, but now they have to rebuild Earth, and they have to do it using what superheroes they have and try to rebuild as best as they can. And it's a fun.
And movie. They're also seeing things come to a head with Gotham yeah. and the refugees. Metropolis trying to get in,
which is interesting because they were just about ready to help them and then they broke in.
Yeah,
so it's just like they kind of messed it over on the messed themselves over. But Gotham doesn't have the resources either. The outside people who are coming to Gotham,
they think Gotham's a paradise and
think
it's not.
It is, and they have all these material and they don't. Then you have the police who are just like, well, we can't let them in, and they're trying to fight them, but you know, it's just
they're not getting my meds.
They're not getting mine. No. And it's just this huge thing that's going to break out. It's good. I mean, it is. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Josh told me to stick with it, and I did, and it has been
good. Stay the course.
It has been good. So I should have did that with Aquaman, because that's what you said last week, that you were like, Aquaman is pretty good.
They call him No Drop Josh.
Is that what they call
him? They do call me that. You would have had to suffer through a lot with Aquaman to get to... The treasure.
That thing. I just
you can easily go buy the nice issue.
That's true. You can buy those last couple issues.
One issue.
You don't want to have a big hole, so why don't you go fill it?
You can't talk. I'm going to change the subject real quick. Old Man Logan. Could have been quicker. Old Man Logan.
Podcast. We're almost there. I don't really have much to talk about. So. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Adam.
No, that's all right. I was just hoping you were saying something better. Old Man Logan, in this issue, he teams up with Hawkeye, who is, what's her name?
Kate Bishop.
I always forget her name for some reason. Kate Bishop is helping him out. She believes him because she has no reason to believe him, which I thought was kind of a funny idea, because usually it's just like when a future character shows up, time traveler shows up, they're just like, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. Why should I believe you in this? She's just like, what reason do I don't? There's time traveling superheroes.
Yeah,
I
was just saying.
And I love how they
have
that in the book.
Probably.
She helps him out. Basically, with his, he's been writing a list on his arm of people who have basically created the future he lives in, and the first one he took out was I don't remember that guy's name because he's so irrelevant to anything. He slapped his kid.
Apparently, he's not irrelevant.
No, he wasn't important though.
The whole thing is he didn't really create the future because he was already in the future, and in that time, he slapped this kid, and that's why he killed him.
And stole his hat,
and it's just like that didn't. Create the future you live in. I'm sorry, Wolverine.
Maybe it did.
The other one was Hulk, Bruce Banner. We dealt with that in the issue two. Issue three, he's wanting to go up against I forget his name.
I don't know. Red Skull?
Nope. Fishbowl Head, Spider-Man.
Mysterio.
Wanting to go up against...
You're a Spider-Man
I know.
Fan.
I kept saying Mephisto, and that's what I had in my head. Mysterio.
Mufasa.
It was Mufasa. He got run over by a gazelle. Wait, now we're off topic.
It was A.
Mysterio. They figure out through S.H.I.E.L.D. database, because I guess Kate Bishop's an Avenger. I don't know when this happened.
She's a Hawkeye.
Yeah, so I guess it's okay. So she goes through
S.H.I.E.L.D. She's all new and all different.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s computers. And figures out some of his last known whereabouts. So they go and track him down at in this warehouse somewhere, and it turns out he's left. Wolverine goes in to question these two people that are there. They're just hiding out there, and they're just regular criminals or homeless people. I don't know what they are. Wolverine gets so mad about not giving him the information that he cuts off the guy's hand. And then that's when Kate Bishop is just like, whoa, maybe I'm helping the wrong person here. And she actually questions him and says, she goes up against him and says, why
have too many on the show?
Why am I helping?
They're probably gonna jump off again.
Neither does he. They go up. I totally just lost everything that I was talking about.
I point out a problem. He blames me for it.
I know. He blames everybody.
Because you're throwing stuff and breaking it.
I walked past.
Too quickly. Identified wind.
You can't move
it's
the
like
air currents at the store.
But different.
Yeah, except it happened then. Not in the future.
On the floor before I got there.
She starts questioning him and saying, maybe this isn't the time period you're from. That if you're, you know, you're not supposed to be. You showed up here, but that doesn't mean you're from this time period. That future is ever going to happen. Because
it's not the
so
time
many,
period you're looking for.
Well, yeah, because there's so many issues with so far. Like, Bruce Banner's not Hulk. Well, he doesn't remember Bruce Banner never being Hulk. You know, certain things are just off about this world now that's been created after Secret War.
Because it's all new and all different.
Well, basically is what they're getting at. This issue wasn't too bad. I didn't mind. I like the direction it is going. It's just taken a long time to get to the point. With the first two issues, they weren't very good. This one picked up. I like how she is questioning that, and they're taking it into consideration, the stuff that has happened so far in comic books before or after Old Man Logan, Miller's series of Old Man Logan, stuff that he didn't have to work with because it didn't happen yet in the books. And he has that, they have that to work with now and say, well, maybe this stuff didn't happen because you're not in the right time. And it's, you know, it just, there was a lot that they're working with. I think it's a good concept. I think a lot of these books are a good concept that they have with Marvel right now. I just don't know how well they're going to implement them. You know, they got a lot to work with, but they're not going anywhere with it. Which leads me to Spider-Man. Spider-Man, it has a lot of potential. You have...
Now, well, this is the Miles Morales Spider-Man book.
Oh, okay.
Adam kept saying, you need to read Spider-Man, so I grabbed Amazing. And he's like, no. I'm like, they should not have two Spider-Man.
Really, no. Because it is...
Well,
they
got Spidey, and they've got...
Well, you have to... He's right. A New York Spider-Man, basically. And the other one's International Spider-Man, yeah.
It's not a franchise.
But in this, it's basically, it was the first issue. It didn't have much happen in it at all, where in the first issue, he's dealing with Blackheart. He uses his spider sting against him. All the Avengers are laying all over the place. They've been defeated. And he uses his Venom Blast on him, and sting or whatever. He uses it, makes Blackheart go like crazy and disappears. And Spider-Man comes in and tells him, what did you do? And then it starts off with the same thing that you were arguing about before. He starts off, well, what did you do? And he explains, oh, I didn't do this. And then Peter starts questioning if it's a good idea for him to take on this mantle. Because he said it was all right before. And now he's thinking, oh, maybe it isn't all right for him to do this. The communication between both him and Miles, it's weird because it almost makes it feel like Spider-Man, the book Spider-Man, didn't exist. Because it feels like they've never met before. Like, they just met after Secret War, and he was like, it's okay, you can meet up with us. But we always knew, when after reading Secret War, it seemed like they knew each other still.
Just always have a cheeseburger Spider-Man in your pocket. You never know.
And
very true.
Well, they met in that Spider-Man limited series.
Yeah,
right.
That's the one I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, so they met in that, but otherwise, like, I don't know. It just seemed like in this, like, they hardly knew each other. He starts questioning that. They Art was weird at one point where he was thinking about his first meeting with Spider-Man, and it wasn't really the first meeting, because Spider-Man was the first meeting. But the art turned all, like, anime-like, and I was just like, I don't know any teenage kid who in his mind is thinking that the world is like a little anime cartoon like that. It was really weird because that's what they were going with, that he was thinking of this. So this is his daydreaming about their first appearance, and it had really weird art for a kid thinking about that. But
Blackheart comes back. He uses more Venom Blast.
And takes him down.
Defeats him.
And he's the hero because his mask was ripped.
Yeah.
And people see that he was a hero of color.
Yeah. So it was pretty big. And, you know. And he didn't want that. He was just like, well, I don't see what that matters and this and that. And they brought it up for a little while. The other thing was that Tony Stark joke where he was just like, we got to put this one back in the bottle. And I don't mean a demon. And
yeah,
I
was just he like, made a demon in a bottle reference, which was really...
It was just like, where is that coming from? Like, it was just really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like, and then he goes...
Is that what you call that period of your life?
Yeah. Or? And then Miles... Well, why would you joke about it?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Oh, you know, this is a horrible time in my life, but it's hilarious now, you know? But... The ending where he goes into his house, he goes home, his dad steps out, and he's like, oh, you know, you don't want to go in there or something. It turns out his grandma's there.
Because his grades are bad because he's having trouble.
She's
cool because he's a crime fighter.
And that's basically what happens. So, I mean, the thing about the book, they have this character now. They can make him fit into the world, and they're doing, like, a really crappy job of it, I think.
They could make him fit
in the
world.
Could make it a lot better. And, you know, with two issues dealing with him fighting Blackheart,
which I don't get.
This demon,
that
big,
is...
powerful demon character with his Venom Blast. And that's it.
Yeah, Blackheart seems to have a power set well above and beyond what Miles Morales can handle.
Really weird. And if the Avengers didn't take him down.
Yeah.
And it was that easy that worked. You know, it just... Two issues of
with
the
no
same
explanation.
Thing.
Yeah,
you need to call him Ghost Rider.
Unless because
for that
he's otherworldly, he's from another world.
They could come with them, but it's going to take Bendis forever to decide how long it's going to take to explain that. So
well, you
got to
have
do.
Your whole issue where they're sitting around the table talking.
Has he explained why it's okay to time travel yet, next man?
Well, that's why Grandma showed up. So next issue will be him sitting around the table talking about his grades.
It was really bad. It just has a potential to be better, I think. I think that's my biggest problem with a lot of these Marvel All New, All Different, is that they have a lot to work with here. Swamp Thing is the last book I read. Yeah, this issue wasn't
you
wasn't
kinda,
as good.
You did,
and I felt
you know,
bad.
You were down on it, you went up on it, you came back
yeah,
down
two,
on
you
it.
Said what you
first
were.
Issue I didn't love, but it was okay. Second issue I liked a whole lot more. Third issue, pretty strong meh.
Now, see, I liked one and two.
It's a vegetative injustice.
You're going to say it, aren't
you? Issue three didn't really have that much going on. And
it just...
Did you see the ending happening, though? I mean, that was about...
Oh, yeah, that was
so I saw it, like, way early on. I felt really bad for the snake. It was really sad. He's been wrestling with the snake. They made a friendship, and then the guy comes in and shoots the snake in the face.
Like, things I like about this book, I like that it kind of has...
He's okay with it. He's like, oh, give me a hug. It's you.
I like that it kind of has an old-school horror vibe to it.
Yeah.
I like the direction I thought they were taking the book in, but this took a pretty drastic turn. Like, for a mini-series, it seems like they're not following a single story all the way through. Now, I mean, obviously the stuff with the zombie dude is still going to come back because we touched on it briefly.
This is a mini, though, isn't it?
Six issues. Six issues.
And how long do they have to tell that? Six issues to tell that story? I mean...
Yeah, so... But I... Swamp Thing almost sounds like kind of hokey, like his voice in this
book. I don't like how he's written. I think he's written too much like the old,
we have the creator of Swamp Thing on here, so yeah. That's what we're getting.
I get that, but my thing is, going back to what we talked about last week with Neil Adams, that Neil Adams writes what he just feels like it should be like, because that's what he was writing it as. I think that's what's happening with this book.
Well,
this is
I
the
feel
time
like,
they wrote it.
I feel like
right. But
DC,
it doesn't fit in. What
then why
I feel like DC knew what they were getting into.
What you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they hired him to Lenwein to come back and do this, they knew that's what they were getting. I just think after having what we have with Scott Snyder and Charles Soule on Swamp Thing,
should have continued.
We got a very modernized version of Swamp Thing, and to suddenly have this, it's just a little bit jarring.
It's a step backwards.
And it's not by no means is it bad. It's not a bad book. The art style I like a lot. The story is, you know, It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just, I really liked the other
stuff. I think it's a nice looking stuff so book much. Too. Oh, it's, I do think it's a really nice looking book. I think, though, they need to. It almost felt like when we first started reading it that they were trying to implement some of the New 52 stuff into it a little bit, like with the green.
But then I feel like they abandoned some,
like,
of it as well.
Like mentioning about Abigail. Mentioning Abigail in this. And, you know, oh, well, it's complicated. Well, it's complicated because she took over the rot, or whatever they're calling it.
The rot.
And, you know, so if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, then,
yeah,
then don't. Like, Zatanna showing up in this. Well, Zatanna was old school Zatanna. Top hat. I like that Zatanna, but that's not this Zatanna.
Yeah.
So is it from the New 52? So
They're trying to mix things.
Well, my biggest problem with the idea with DC, what they're doing, is if you're going to have continuity, have continuity in certain things. If you don't, that's fine. But then, you know, like with Justice League, don't make people, all these comic book fans, question where it's taking place. Like, if you don't have to. But if you have a story that you want to tell, and it's going to be a miniseries, let's say Prez, or what's the other miniseries that's out that's more DC superhero-esque?
Titans Hunt?
Yeah, like, if it's going to fit into something like that, then make it fit in. If it doesn't, and you want to do an out-of-continuity miniseries, do an out-of-continuity miniseries. But set some guidelines of, like, where is it? Is it going to be part of the story? Is it not? And I think, you know, it feels like it's supposed to be, but then you know it's not, you know, supposed to be in that continuity. So it's a really weird book to read.
I've been reading this with the mindset that it's out of continuity.
That's, you have to enjoy it better, you have to.
But so this issue sees Matt Cable show up.
Yeah.
Saying that he owes, you know, Swamp Thing greatly, and that he spent the past year trying to find a way to pay his debt, and that's coming in the form of finding a way to turn Swamp Thing back into the human Alec Holland.
Yeah.
So we're seeing, like, his flashbacks of his, you know, adventures to try and, you know, find a way to do this. And then
I like the magical characters that he meets with, like, mm-hmm. Felix Faust.
Yeah.
Who was the other? There were two other ones.
There were two others. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't. I'll think of them later.
And then once he has found a way to do it and seeks out Swamp Thing, they need someone who is well-versed in the magical arts to help them, and that's where they go to Zatanna to perform this ritual, which does work with the twist that suddenly Matt Cable has been given Swamp Thing's abilities and powers and is the new Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And obviously that was his plan all along. So it was okay.
It's very similar to that last story dealing with the character of the Cedar. Do you remember that? And Scott Snyder, after Scott Snyder's.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's similar to that, though.
It's just that it's one person taking over the mantle of that trickery.
That was it being stripped from him, him losing the confidence of the.
But he does it on Parliament. Yeah. Like, that's his whole plan. He wants to be, wants the power of Swamp Thing.
This just, it feels very much like a Silver Age story, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the, really, I think if you like the old Swamp Thing stuff, which you can enjoy.
And it's not
like
bad, it's just if you pick this up hoping for more of the contemporary Swamp Thing that we've had recently, then you're going to be a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
But art-wise, it's very unique.
Yeah.
And does have, like, that old-school horror vibe, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it for you? No. Can we go first?
I only have a couple, so I'll let me start.
No, because I like two also.
Okay, good. We'll wrap up soon. Avengers Standoff Assault on Pleasant Hill Alpha 1 coming out after
there is not
one.
Enough names there.
Yeah.
then needs like eight more names.
It's not like we're going back to the 90s or anything.
No. And it had an all-yellow cover.
Yeah.
So just a little odd.
So you can see it from miles away.
You could.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire, Prelude,
Journey to
Pop-Tarts.
Journey to Star Wars, Force Awakens, Shattered Empire.
That's right.
Varying edition.
Darth Vader goes to the
basically, this is continuing on the story where Maria Hill has created a prison using shards of the Cosmic Cube. And it's just really weird coming right on the heels of Secret Wars, where it's like, where does this happen? Where did they, you know, it just all of a sudden
you have find a cosmic cube,
right? And it's alternate reality, and the stuff is going on, and apparently this has been set up for a long time. It's just very.
Is Hickman writing this?
No, Nick Spencer, I believe. Yeah,
it's Nick Spencer. It still Wayward Pines then, Colin?
Yes, yes, but there, two of the at the end of the first issue, Fixer had let Baron Zemo know what was going on. And now, as it goes on, they've let more and more of the people know. And at the end, there's a big confrontation between now, basically, it's like the Thunderbolts. This huge team of people against, are going to, you know, revolt against the thing. And it was just kind of, okay. It's not bad, it's not great, but it's like, this is the prelude to Civil War II, which doesn't give me a lot of hope for Civil War II, if this is the whole prelude thing. It's just very weird with...
This is great. I just don't care.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, it's, I don't know, Shite. It's just weird. Yeah, it's just not great. Again, being on the heels of Secret Wars. You know, if they'd waited more than letting the books do one arc,
they don't do
but
that.
This is now tying into every Avengers book. And it's like, okay, it's already into, we're on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3, and it's already tying in and stuff. And it's just, you know, derailing their line quickly. So, yeah, I don't know why they had to tie into an event this quick. Discipline was very odd. Peter Milligan, an Image book. Basically, this woman is having an affair with this guy, and it turns out I don't know if he's a demon or he's in league with some demons, and stuff is going on, and they're like, no, you're moving too quick because it takes two more days for the, ritual to go and stuff, and it's just really odd. And then they go into this house, and he holds her up against a wall, and the wall actually grabs her, like this painting on the wall grabs her and holds her, and this monster comes through the wall, through the window. It was just really bizarre. She's having these odd visions of stuff. Bizarre, but good. You know, I'm definitely intrigued by where this is going. But yeah, it was just, I mean, the cover kind of gave it away with her starting to get undressed and like a creepy demon hand over her shoulder. But very interesting. Interesting image. You know, you don't know what's going on, where it's going, which is kind of fun. The Violent number 3, sadly, I don't remember a ton about it. The last one ended with them killing the drug dealer by accident and then locking him in his apartment with his dog, his pit bull.
He was already dead.
Right, but they locked the pit bull in, and then they opened it up, and the pit bull started to eat him.
Yeah.
They didn't open. The police show up. The main thing that happened with this, which was really interesting, was at the end, it's the guy, I don't remember, I think the wife showed up, or he found the wife in the hospital or something, but he's having a conversation with his buddy who was there when the guy died, and the buddy is like, I can't do it, man. I can't hold this in. I gotta tell. I'm sorry. I just gotta tell him what's going on. And the guy walks behind him. He's like, it's okay, Tommy. I understand. And slits his throat. And it was just like, whoa, here's a guy who's just, you know, he's trying to get back on the straight and narrow, doing everything he can. You know, he just got out of prison and things have just gone horribly, horribly wrong for him. And here he is, just killed his best friend to keep him quiet. So interesting, you know, interesting book. Not fun, but interesting. actually, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Deadly Class number 19. So this
you mean this book that you trashed, that you threw on the floor? Oh, this
that's
is 18.
Number 18.
Okay, you're right.
Never mind, though.
Man. It's not even readable now.
Oh. If you and your staff didn't shove it all on
staff,
there.
Staff being the key.
Staff trying to fit too many books on the shelf and belong. Staff. It wouldn't have happened.
Staff is the operative word.
They take leadership from someone.
Well, fair enough. I tell them what to do. They don't listen.
Then you need to, then you need to flog them.
Adam, do you have a rebuttal?
No.
Have you asked you to thin the shelves if the books are falling off?
I've done that.
Okay. Probably not on this book.
No.
Blame Barry.
So, Deadly Class number 19. the rats are still on the run. The freshman calling is still in full swing. Marcus and two of the other rats are
turtles. Sorry.
All right. So next book. so Marcus and
he said Splinter.
And two of the rats
whispered Splinter.
Are in the streets of San Francisco trying to get away from this Russian meathead Victor and his gang. He has a kind of a personal grudge against Marcus and this other Kid Billy, who's with Marcus. And we're seeing, you know, Billy running from Victor, and he runs through this record shop. And it starts off, you're just seeing this dialogue between the clerk at the record store and this customer talking about, this customer has to buy a B-52's album, and the clerk's, you know, very uppity, trying to talk him out of it. And they're having, like, this conversation similar to, like, what you would see in, like, the movie High Fidelity.
Okay.
And then suddenly, you know, Billy comes running in, yelling, oh, run, run, run. And then Victor comes blasting and starts killing everyone in the store. Then he runs into this Chinese restaurant and through the kitchen. The same thing happens. And you're seeing this, you know, very high-octane chase going on, and at the same time flashing to Billy's past and Victor's past, and seeing their childhoods and how, you know, they became who they were, who they are. And this is how most of the issue is. It does end with Billy managing to, you know, what they think kill Victor, but he's, at the end you find out he's not dead, but managed to elude him and his, you know, his other gang members. And they decide, Billy talks Marcus, and the other girl, I forget the girl's name that's with them, but talks him into just going on the run, not trying to fight this anymore, just to go into hiding and get away from the school, these other assassins. And they agree to it, but then you find out that someone is ratting them out, giving away where they're at and what they're doing, and it alludes to it being Billy. So he's turned on them. But it was good. It's a really good issue. This arc has been really exciting. Really changes the direction of the book a lot. This book has had some ups and downs. Like, sometimes I feel like it gets bogged down by the inner monologues a bit with Marcus. But these past few issues have been pretty, you know, well paced and moving things along. And the other one that hasn't been mentioned yet, Omega Men number 9. This book is really, you know, ramping things up to some sort of epic conclusion with only 3 issues left. So the previous issue had the Omega Men taking Kyle Rayner to this planet in the Vega system to show him the atrocities that the Citadel have created or committed. So apparently this planet, these planets in the Vega system, are the only source of this certain resource, and this resource is used to maintain stability in planetary systems. So they're mining this resource and selling it or offering it to other planets as part of this, you know, big galactic consortium to prevent them, these other planets, from becoming the next Krypton. So they use this resource to ensure stability of their planets. But to mine the resource, it has very ill effects on the population of the planet. So this particular planet, whenever people started to, you know, rise up against the mining, the Citadel just wiped everyone out. They killed everyone and then had mass graves dug, buried everyone, and then they used this shield that was traditionally around this planet to keep outsiders out. They kept it up to maintain the illusion that everything's still fine on this planet. They're just in seclusion. So the Omega Men show this to Kyle Rayner, trying to get him to try to sway him to their side. But instead, he decides he wants to be more of the, you know, mediator between the two sides. So this big galactic council is intervened or called to hear the case between both sides. And Kyle Rayner is, you know, speaking, saying he's not taking a side, but it has to be shown what's been going on, so that way a new way can be found, that neither side is right or wrong, but a better way has to exist. But as he's speaking to this, you know, this group of all these, you know, governments from these different planets, the Omega Men put their real plan into action, which he isn't aware of, and they blow up the planet that's being mined for this resource, and effectively say, so if you, you know, want, like, if the Citadel's going to keep providing this resource, they have to commit this atrocity again. They have to find another planet and kill all the inhabitants on this planet and begin mining it to offer stability for your planet. So if you want to continue this course, you're going to have to, you know, essentially commit genocide on an entire population to do so. You can't just say, well, they're already dead and we're going to continue mining this planet because it's already been done, you know. And it leads to some very, very, you know, brutal conflict between the two sides, with Raynor caught in the middle, and it ends with him finally getting back his White Lantern ring. So I guess whenever he first came there to kind of talk sense to the Omega Men, because that's what he was brought in to do in the beginning, right before he was kidnapped, he had to give up his power ring before he went on these to be the negotiator. And this the head of the Citadel has been wearing his power ring through the entire process, but once the fighting broke out and he was in close proximity, suddenly the power ring, the White Lantern ring, went back to him. It finally, I don't know why it hadn't previously, but it finally sought him out again.
It wouldn't do anything for the other guy, would it?
No, it wouldn't at all. He was just wearing it. But even, there was one point whenever he was being interrogated by the guy that was wearing it, and it still didn't go to him. I'm pretty sure he was wearing it at the time. I don't think he had it off and locked away.
It's like it made a weird choice. Like, it was just like, I'm going to wait this out.
Yeah, but finally at this moment, it seemed like it was going to him. So it'd be interesting to see what happens now that he is not quite as defenseless as he's been throughout this entire book. But this book just, it really feels so cinematic and epic in scope. And I think it'll be a phenomenal couple of trades when it comes out. It's a shame more people haven't been reading his books. It's really, really well done. I think Tom King is really making a name for himself.
It just wasn't pitched well. It wasn't pitched well.
It wasn't promoted well. But this guy is knocking out of the park with, I think, all of his books right now. I can't think of a single book he's doing that's faltering.
That's why they signed him. Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay. Taking the mic.
What comes out next week, Colin?
Next week, nothing. We have a crappy one Josh wants to read. We're actually crappy already read.
Week. What?
ANA number one.
I did already read it, and I highly recommend it. It was quite enjoyable.
Okay. But Adam. You read my retailer exclusive preview. Adam.
Which is the full book.
Yes. Adventure Time Ice King number 3.
Awesome.
We have some all new books. We have all new Inhumans, all new X-Men.
Who cares?
Nice attitude. We also had the first trade of Batman and Robin Eternal. Also, Batman Contagion is finally coming back into print. That's been a long time. The Batman Superman Silver Age Omnibus, and just in time for a movie with those two guys.
There's a movie coming out with them?
There is. Batman Trade Endgame, the first part of the Endgame story. Beauty Volume 1. I know Pat's been reading that. The trade.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Clandestino number 2. That's one of my Black Mask books. The first one was good. Then things kind of got off the rails publishing-wise. So that one's coming back. Deadpool Mercs for the Money number 2. Devolution number 3. Dr. Fate number 10, just for Adam.
Yay. Just Adam.
Extraordinary X-Men number 8, which is part of the Apocalypse War story, starting that. Ghostbusters Deviations. This is the one where, what if they didn't cross the streams and Gozer won? Green Arrow number 50, one of the anniversary issues.
Dead. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
We'll see. Huck number 5. Imperium number 14. International Iron Man number 1. This one, just the title made me laugh. It's Irwin Allen Lost in Space number 1. Why did you really have to put Irwin Allen in that title? How about just Lost in Space? I think that would be a little more effective.
I comes before L.
Right, but should I file it under Irwin?
No.
No. We have Jonesy number 2. That was supposed to be a big hit. Two Justice League trades. We have the hardcover of Darkseid War Part 1, and we have Justice League Volume 6 in Justice League. Kanan number 12, the last issue of that run. Okay. Legends of Tomorrow, the anthology book from DC. Lords of the Jungle, which is a new Tarzan book from Dynamite. Monstrous number 4. Then here's another mistake. There's a book called Turncoat number 1 coming out, but instead the writers wanted to put their name before it. But nobody knows who they are. It's Paknadel and Trokhanov, turncoat number one.
I don't want to read that because I don't know what you just said.
Yeah, I agree.
Are they turncoats? Is that what
No, the book is turncoat. It was an interesting story. It's where there's been an alien invasion, and the government has been working with the aliens. Like, after they got invaded, you know, they created a government, and all of a sudden the aliens left, and now the government's left, and they're kind of having to answer for what they did by aligning with the aliens and stuff.
No, kind of like the French government after World War II,
Yeah. So, Rivers of London, Night Witch. Rivers of London was a really good seller for me. It's a Titan book, and basically, I forget the pitch. Oh, I don't remember. But it's like not a Harry Potter one, but a magic, underground magic in London type of thing. Secret Wars hardcover. It's finally coming out. This is going to be a huge seller at $50. I don't get it.
I'll buy three.
Okay, excellent. Steven Universe.
Did you get all 9 issues?
All 10, because there was a zero.
Oh.
10 issues for only $50.
Pretty sweet.
Sweet, yeah. Steven Universe and Crystal Gems number one. That first volume sold very, very well. Superman number 50 with their polybag variant. Superman American Alien number 5. Looking
Aren't
forward
the
to this one.
Trades supposed to be less than
all
the issues
in most worlds, they are.
They should be.
Superman Coming of the Superman number 2. I know everybody's looking forward to that. Tokyo Ghost is finally coming. Like 27 titles didn't ship. They were supposed to ship this week. Mostly trades. So some of them that I talked about last week are actually coming next week. Transformers Deviations. What if there was no Optimus Prime? And then the last one to point out is Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 5, new arc.
Labyrinth.
Ooh.
We get to find out what the hell that lab was.
Yeah.
So. What?
He said lab, and you're like, inth.
Well, inth is a different thing. That goes back to Todd, who joined us. I'll tell you the story later. It's not that exciting.
Boobs.
Kinda. Goes along with that.
Hoochie Mama. You're not done yet.
What?
Oh, if you, Colin?
There, see, you guys got to prompt me. It's websites, pittsburghcomics.com. Same with Facebook. Twitter is at pghcomics.com. Or you can always find me at the store because I never leave. That's not true. I'm not here Sunday and Monday.
If for some reason they want to tell a friend to listen to the podcast, where can they tell their friend
to find
the podcast?
You can always find the podcast is on the website. It's also on iTunes.
And while you're on iTunes, let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, we have like 3 ratings, so you could, you know.
I think it's 11, actually.
Well, really? Oh, okay. Wow. Never mind.
But the ratings help with visibility and things like that. And it lets us know if we're failing you.
We are.
Adam.
Not me.
Yeah.
You. As leader of the podcast.
Why am I blamed for everything?
Josh, you're elected again, leader of the podcast.
I've been here the shortest amount of time than anyone else.
That's true.
Well, next on the line is me, and I don't want to do it, so.
So it just falls on me again. Okay.
Well, that's a podcast.
So they will talk to you next week. I will not. I will be having fun. Not that I don't have fun here, but I'll be having a little more fun.
Again, it wants to be. We're just going to give anybody outside the leader of the podcast a role.
They will talk to you next week. See ya.